listen to His Glory Lives broadcast to tell you Jesus Christ is alive and His glory lives in the believer. We're dedicated to the study of the Word of God and promoting the gospel.
Good morning. Today we're studying 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now I want you to know that I feel very inadequate to teach this lesson about Paul and his trials and his struggles in his ministry over a congregation at Corinth. He was more than a preacher in his reactions to the congregations that he preached to. He was an evangelist, he was an apostle, but he also had the heart of a pastor. And I can't really relate to that. I'm not a pastor. I'm not even a preacher. I'm a teacher trying to tell you what the Bible says and about the gospel. But a pastor looks at more than that. There's a difference. To have a pastor's heart is to have compassion for the flock. And what's happening in the Corinthian church is there's been some false leaders who claim to be pastors, but they aren't. They boast about themselves and they put down Paul. It'd be one thing if they just boasted about themselves. You could tolerate that. But when they put down Paul to build themselves up, it lets you know right off that they don't have the heart of a pastor. Because a pastor wants what's best over a flock. Now, a pastor, I believe, would be very jealous, like a shepherd for the sheep. He's protective. Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd." He was protective over the disciples and over those he ministered to. But these false leaders care not for the sheep. He said they were just out for money. He tells them that they didn't love their souls as he loved them. He's told us that several times in 1 Corinthians 4 and 15. He said, "For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel." Then he says in 1 Corinthians 9 and 12 that we studied, "If others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endure all things so that we will cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ in you." He didn't even receive a salary from the Corinthian church. The Macedonian brethren sent him offerings so that he could preach to these Corinthians. But Paul reminded them in 1 Corinthians 9 and 14 that the Lord had directed those who proclaimed the gospel to get their living from the gospel. So he was preaching to these Corinthians free of charge, which showed that he cared for them. He also told them in 1 Corinthians 9 and 18, "What then is my reward? Why am I preaching to you?" He says that when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. I do all things for the sake of the gospel so that I may become a fellow partaker of it, he says. In 2 Corinthians 2 and 17, he talked about these false leaders. He said, "You see, we're not like the many hucksters who preach for personal profit. We preach the word of God with sincerity and with God's authority, knowing that God is watching us." He's repeating these same things in today's lesson. He's saying the same things that he said all through 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians about these same disruptive people. But in today's lesson, you're going to hear a tone in Paul's writings that he is exasperated. He's come to the end of the road, so to speak. He's put up with them and put up with them and tried to reason with them to no avail. So this letter is very blunt. It doesn't sound like Paul. we see a side of Paul that's forceful, that's not so much Christ-like, but he speaks with authority as one who's in control, or else trying to get control. He sees these Corinthian people in danger, the Christians that are there. He sees them in peril because of these false leaders, and he's protective of them. He wants to tell them that things are not like what they seem. These false leaders are not what they propose to be. They're not the type of people that you think they are. They are deceivers. He even compares them to Satan, who can appear as an angel of light. Now, these men are very wicked men. They don't have the heart of a pastor, as Paul does. And he's very stern with this Corinthian congregation. It's like a father who's scolding their children. He's more or less saying, open your eyes and look and see what they're trying to do to you. They want to discredit me and what I've preached to you about Jesus Christ. And they're not only discrediting me, they're discrediting Jesus Christ. And why are they doing that? So that they can build themselves up and take your money. He said they take advantage of you. They've made slaves out of you. And not only that, they've slapped you in the face, he said, apparently with insults. So he's exposing these false leaders to the congregation. Now, we've been taught, you know, turn the other cheek when someone does something bad to you, which Paul has done that. We also are taught that we should not expose people's bad side. We're not supposed to say anything bad about them. We're supposed to build one another up. But that's to the brethren. That's not to the false leaders or false people in the congregation. People who are not promoting Jesus Christ are promoting themselves. Pure and simple. And Paul says they're not promoting Jesus Christ. They're taking advantage of you. And they don't care anything about you. But Paul says, I love you as a father loves you. I love your souls, he said. So we see a side of Paul that is very stern. And these are called the sorrowful letters in this chapter and in chapter 12. We're going to read along the same lines that we've been reading all in Corinthians about the problems of this church. And in those cases, the pastor has to do something about it. But things are not as they seem. In today's lesson, it's going to seem as though Paul is boasting about himself. He calls himself a fool for boasting about himself because that's what these false leaders had been doing. But actually, Paul is not boasting about himself. He's really putting himself down. If you were a minister and you were going to boast about yourself, you would tell about all of your accomplishments, wouldn't you? Well, Paul is telling about all the problems that he had in his ministry. Who would want to follow that? You boast so that someone will follow you and believe you and look up to you and think you're wonderful. But if you heard Paul talk about all of his hardships, you might be thinking, well, what's wrong with Paul? Why does he have trouble everywhere he goes? Is he a contentious minister? Is he provoking the people? Is he misjudging the people? Or falsely accusing them to cause so much problems everywhere he goes? And is he trying to interfere with government, that government officials are after him? Why is Paul having so much trouble? Well, we know the answer to that. The works of the devil are at the root of it, and people who are led by the devil. They've attacked Paul because he's told them the truth about their sins, and they don't want to hear it. And so they attack him. They attack Jesus, who was without sin and had such love and compassion for the people, yet they railed on him. Things are not always as they seem. You would think that they would love the Son of God, and you would think that they would love a man who's going to a cross for their sins. Not so. Because they didn't know. They didn't understand who Jesus was, and they don't understand who Paul is. And even after Paul boasts to them in his foolishness in this chapter, they are still not going to know who Paul is because he's telling them all of his weaknesses. But Paul was one of the strongest men of the New Testament. He had the answers to the gospel. He's the only one of the apostles that put forth the real knowledge of the gospel and the hidden truths of Jesus Christ. None of the others could even come up near to what he knew about the gospel that the Lord Jesus Christ had revealed to him. All of Christianity today is based on Paul's letters that he wrote and on the life of Jesus Christ in the Gospels. We have our doctrines and our understanding of who Jesus is, why he came to earth, what his purpose was, and how that organization should be through Paul. He didn't boast about any of those things. All he told about was his problems, his trials, his troubles, of how he suffered for the cause of Christ. To him, it was a badge of honor. But to these leaders, it would be a badge of failure. But things aren't as they seem. Things are not as they seem. In 2 Corinthians 4 and 18, Paul says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So our focus in life should be on the spiritual vision of Jesus Christ and not on natural things that are around us. The things that we see around us each day is not eternal. I am up in years, and my mother and my father are gone. All of my brothers and my sisters are gone. When I was younger, in my 20s, even on up into my 40s, all my family was around me. Things were a lot different then. My outlook on life was a lot different then than it is now. And when you're young, you think it's always going to be that way. But it can change in a moment's time. There can be tragedies. There can be upheavals. There can be all kinds of things that happen in your life as you go along that will change you and will change your circumstances. And it will change your outlook on eternity. So things that you see today are not necessarily are what reality is. You can't base everything on circumstances today. The only thing that's lasting and that we can put an anchor to is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his return for the salvation of our souls. Because our circumstances will change. You can't assume a whole lot because things may not be as they seem. The home that Jesus went away to prepare for us in New Jerusalem, and our loved ones have gone on before, Those are some of the things that are real. They're not here with us now, but they're real. And although we can't see them, we know that they are with the Lord Jesus Christ. So things are not as they seem. We may seem alone when we're really not. We have things that we hope for, and it is a reality that we will see our Lord someday. So we walk by faith. We don't walk by faith with things that are around us. We have to purpose in our mind that we will serve God in spite of what we have to go through, and in spite of all the changes that come in our life, that we will serve the Lord anyway. So Paul has to trust God here. He seems to have enemies coming out from the woodwork here. He's got enemies everywhere, and especially in this Corinthian church. But in the end, he prevails because he trusts God, and he meets and confronts the problem head on, and he tells them the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's what liberates Paul here. But as we read these scriptures, it's going to seem that he is sincere in his boasting. He's really not sincere in his boasting. He's mocking these leaders, is what he's doing. With sarcasm that he boasts. They've boasted, so he's going to boast. He's going to be a fool as they are, he says. He's trying to make a point that it's foolish for your boasting, because today's world may not be tomorrow's world. What will you boast of then? Things are not as they seem. We have no promise of tomorrow. We have today. And the things that have been given to each one of us was given by God. We didn't come of these things on our own. If we have a gift, it's because God gave it to us. If we have personal things or wealth, it's because God gave it to us. If we have a talent, it's because God gave it to us. We really have no right to boast in any of it because God gave it to us. But he gave it to us because he loves us, and he wants us to prosper, be in good health, and he wants us to promote the gospel and tell people about him because he has life. And that's something to boast about, that we can tell people that Jesus has life. He said we can boast in the gospel, and that we want to boast in. But Paul is being foolish today in this lesson, so just remember what his purpose is. He's trying to get these Corinthians to not trust in these evil men, but to trust in Jesus Christ and the message that he gave to them. So let's read the New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The title here is Paul and the False Apostles. I hope you'll be patient with me as I keep on talking like a fool. I'm jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. For I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. But I fear that somehow you'll be led away from your pure and simple devotion to Christ. Now he's talking to the believers in the Corinthian church, not to the false leaders. He's talking to the body of Christians that were there. This is his letter to them. I fear that somehow you'll be led away from your pure and simple devotion to Christ, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent. You seem to believe whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach about a different Jesus than the one we preach to you, or a different spirit than the one that you received from us, or a different kind of gospel than the one that you first believed. In verse 5, he says, but I don't think I'm inferior to these super apostles, as he calls them. I may not be a trained speaker, If you recall from last week's lesson, they said he was a bad speaker. But I know what I'm talking about, Paul said. I think you realize this by now, for we've proved it again and again. Was I wrong when I humbled myself and honored you by preaching God's good news to you without expecting anything in return? He asked. I robbed other churches by accepting their contributions so I could serve you at no cost. And when I was with you and didn't have enough to live on, I didn't become a financial burden to anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia brought me all that I needed. I have never been a burden to you, and I never will be. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, I'll never stop boasting about this all over Greece. Why am I boasting about this? Because I don't love you? He said, God knows that I do. But I will continue doing this to cut the ground out from under the feet of those who boast that their work is just like ours. You know, they were putting Paul down, but yet they were saying, we're just like Paul. We're a great preacher just like Paul. We're telling you the same things that Paul told you. And they were not. Paul said in verse 13, these people are false apostles. They have fooled you by disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. But I'm not surprised, he said. Even Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light. So it's no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. But in the end, they will get the punishment that their wicked deeds deserve. Now, what were their wicked deeds? Well, they had a lot of pride, for one thing. For another, they didn't know a thing about righteousness. And they didn't know a thing about Jesus Christ and His love and caring for the sheep. They did not have the pastor's heart as Paul did. In verse 16, Paul starts talking about his many trials here. But he says, again I say, don't think that I'm a fool to talk like this. But even if you do, listen to me as you would to a foolish person, while I also boast a little. Such boasting is not from the Lord, but I'm acting like a fool, he says. He said, I know that the Lord's not approving of boasting, but I'm acting like a fool like these false leaders are. And since others boast about their human achievements, I will too. After all, you who think you're so wise enjoy listening to these fools, he was saying. You put up with it when they make you their slaves and they take everything you have. They take advantage of you, they put on airs, and they slap you in the face, he says. And Paul says, I'm ashamed to say that we're not that strong that we will do that to you. In other words, he's mocked them right there. He's not actually saying they are strong, he's just saying we're not that arrogant, or do we dare try to do this to you? But whatever they dare to boast about, he says, I'm talking like a fool again. I can boast about it too. Verse 22, he says, they say they are Hebrews. Well, so am I. They say they're Israelites. Well, so am I. They say they're descendants of Abraham. So am I. They say they serve Christ. He said, I know I sound like a madman, but I've served him far more. I've worked harder, been put in jail more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. And 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. And 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, and 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I've traveled many weary miles. I faced danger from flooded rivers and from robbers. I faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the stormy seas. And I faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but they're not. And I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've been hungry and thirsty, and I've often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. And besides all this, I've had the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? And who's led astray and I don't burn with anger? But if I must boast, I'd rather boast about the things that show how weak that I am, he says. Now he's coming to the truth, and he's saying, I'm not really boasting at all. I'm just telling you how weak I am because of Christ. God the Father of our Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows I tell you the truth. When I was in Damascus, the governor under King Arrestus kept guards at the city gates to catch me. And I had to be lowered in a basket through a window in the city wall to escape from him, probably for his life. Now, I said that I'm not adequate to comment on Paul's letter here because I've not been through the horror that Paul has been through in serving Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that I've escaped these things. But on the other hand, I'm reminded how little that I'm doing for God in comparison to what He has endured and what our Lord Jesus has endured. So if we're ever tempted to boast about ourselves at the expense of someone else, may we remember Paul. Things are not as they seem. Please pray this prayer with me. Father, we are so thankful that you are in control. And we don't look at circumstances, nor at some enemy we may have, or at some problem that is facing us. We know, Father, that things are not as they seem. In spite of whatever we face, we know that you love us, and that your hand is upon us to keep us. We know, Father, that we are in your will, and we praise you for your goodness. And we pray, Father, that you would forgive our sins, and may we never be found wanting in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, we thank you for being with us today. And if you don't have a church home, we wish to invite you to All Seasons Worship Center on Highway 35 South in Forest, Mississippi. You can listen to this broadcast again on our website at www.secondredemption.com. That is www.2ndredemption.com, secondredemption.com. Tune in next Sunday at this same time. You can support this broadcast with your prayers and telling others about the program. Thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you in the reading of His Word.
It's a heavenly place, and He's leading.